believe that for the day
we're living in today, so much people need to realize it's what's on the inside. For years I struggled with that scripture in 1 John chapter number 2. He said that, or chapter number 3. He said, that which is born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth. And I'd always struggled with that. And I realized and I found out my flesh is not born of the Lord, but my soul has been born again. Brother Scotty, my spirit has been renewed. And my soul's been sealed into the day of redemption. Don't get excited now. Don't get excited when I say that being sealed to the day of redemption. You know, don't lose consciousness and faint because it's so good. You all just sound like you're excited. And we're sealed to the day of redemption. And but found out but that what does matter is that is on the inside is right with the Lord. My flesh is at war with me every day. My flesh is at war with what God commands every day. But my Bible also tells me if I walk in the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's exactly right. So that was also to say that if you walk in your flesh, you shall not fulfill the desire of the Spirit. And the Spirit desires us a closer walk with the Lord. We think, because we have a mind and we can come up with thoughts and see a direction for our feet and a way that we could go, we think that's what God will bless. But my Bible and your Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. God told through the prophet Isaiah, he said, for my ways are not man's ways, as far as the high as his heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above man's ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so oftentimes people will say, preacher, what's the best piece of advice you can give to anybody in this world? As the best advice to give is to get saved. What matters is what's on the inside. Because if you start right, you'll end right. And I realize today that maybe some folks will say, preacher, it's a different time. Do we need a different gospel? Absolutely not. We do not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he is the same. He changeth not. And the Bible says that we try to change. And we get tossed to and about with every wind and doctrine. But if we'll allow Christ on the inside, we'll be established. And we'll be secured in him. Everybody with the preacher this evening so far? We've got Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Say amen. Verse 20, say amen. If you'd like, we ask you to. Please stand at your feet at the reverence of reading God's Word. If you're able, if you can't, we understand. I heard one preacher say, you might as well stand now, you'll be sitting for a couple of hours. I do not dare say that too seriously, but I want to read these two verses, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatian church. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The next verse says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Creator, mighty God, wonderful Counselor, Lord, the great Jehovah, we come to you in the name of your dear Son. Could never thank you enough, Lord, for your word. Could never thank you enough, Father, for this blessed hope that we have in our heart. And God, we pray tonight, Lord, as we are come again, Lord, Father, into our meeting time, we come to this place, Lord, Father, a place where we meet to gather, to sing, to praise, and Lord, Father, to be filled and lifted and strengthened, Lord Father, and maybe sometimes corrected and reproved. But Lord, nevertheless, Lord Father, to have a message come from you, Father, I'm so thankful for it. God, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that you would just anoint me with that fresh oil. Preach through me, Lord, whereby a man cannot preach without you. And Lord, that we would preach your word, your message, Lord Father. We not be a show. We not be something to look at. But Lord Father, that we would speak to the hearts, Lord Father, only you can do that tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd put us everyone in this message, Lord Father. Lord, that we would want to desire a closer walk and closer fellowship with you. I'm reminded, Lord, that your Bible says if we'll draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. If we'll resist the devil, he'll flee. And Father, so I pray tonight, Lord, Father, that we resist the temptation of the flesh, resist the devil, Lord, and take a step closer to you. Lord, Father, we humbly so thankfully and ask you all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. I thank you for the standing and reading with me, and I thank you tonight for praying with me. As we said, we want to preach upon what matters is on the inside. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter into the church of Galatia, and I researched and found there's more, not just one particular church. There was a handful of churches in that region. But in that region, as the Apostle Paul had went and journeyed and preached, that there, after he had preached and things were established in the gospel, and that the Judaizers came back in and was trying to establish a work of the law, trying to establish something that was not of according to Christ and according to his word and the gospel. May I say, as Paul finished the chapter, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, for if righteousness come by the law, then is Christ dead in vain? That law was the outside. It was on the outward appearance or the outward working of what man had to do to offer up them sacrifices unto God. But them sacrifices could never take away the sin out of an individual. It could never take away sin. It pushed it back year by year by year. But can I say, I'm glad that the Lord looked down and had a better mediator and a better covenant with better promises. My Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the one who came and gave his life's blood and gave himself and humbled himself and died the death of the cross, in which by he said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down freely, that I might take it up again. I'm glad to know that Jesus is that way. He is that truth, and he is that life. I'm reminded when the disciples come to him, and they were around him in John chapter number 6, and I'm remembering of the time and the opportunity that when Jesus was preaching unto those folks back in those days after he fed them with the 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves, and we preached here recently quite a bit, it being Resurrection Sunday, about how those men were pricked in their hearts and how they were upset with what Jesus said. And the Bible said that Jesus looked at them and said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, and the flesh profiteth nothing. He's saying what I speak is what's mattering on what's happening and what's going on. I'm speaking to that which is on the inside. I'm trying to speak to the heart of man. And can I say this? We can try to dress up the outside of man. We can try to do the things that would try to make people to be attracted to the outward part of man. But can I say this? Though you might dress up the outside, though you might show what's going on the outside, but friend, can I say this? God sees everything on the inside. And can I say this? You can try if you can. In order, you can try ducks in a row. And friend, the Bible tells me, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. I'm reminded that Jesus, when he was talking to them Pharisees and them Sadducees and them lawyers, them hypocrites is what he called them in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 23. He says, you present yourself as a whited sepulcher. He said, but inwardly you're full of dead man's bones. And can I say, you can dress up the outside, but if the inside's dead, it don't matter how alive you make the outside look, but friend, what matters is what's on the inside. He says, you wash the outside of the cup and the platter, but the inside is full of excess and exhaustion. He says, you ought to wash the inside of the cup and the platter, and the outside will come clean also. I say, amen. Can I say this? I tried, and other folks have tried. Maybe you've tried. You've tried to turn over that new leaf. You've tried to change your ways. You've tried to do things differently. But friend, you could never seem to get that change to stick. You never could get that way to change better. But can I say this? Because we've been trying to do it on the outside and put it on the inside. But friend, I find there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. As the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, can I say the best thing about being saved is the one who lives in me. I'm glad that I know that those times I may fall and I may stumble, I may make a mistake, but I'm glad the one who lives inside, he never makes a mistake. Oh, he lets me know when things is going good, and be sure he lets me know when things is going bad. But friend, I may not have been on the mountaintop every time, and Brother Eddie, sometimes I've been down in the valley, but I found that he that lives within inside of me has never left me, nor has he ever forsaken me. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I say praise his ever-loving name. I'm glad when he told him back in the prophet through Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to do a one day. He said, I'm going to take out your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He said, I'm going to give you my spirit and I'm going to renew your mind. I'm glad he's talking about things that's on the inside. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad he's all about the inside, ain't you? I'm glad in today's day and time, I've talked to many a people. I've been around folks, they say, preacher, I just can't seem to make her work. And I said, that's what's wrong. I said, we're trying to make things work on the outside. But let the Lord do the work on the inside. And then we can work with him to make things better on the outside. Somebody say amen. Hey, when I got saved, my house payment didn't get paid off. Hey, my car payments didn't get paid off. I still got to pay car insurance. I got a bill in the mail from the orthopedic and my mouth dropped. I'm like, what in the world? And Jesus said, don't you worry. He said, I'm still with you. Don't you fret. We'll get everything all right. Y'all listen to the preacher? I thank God today. What matters is on the inside. I'm reminded as we was at one time, we was down at Jubilee and heard a preacher preach this, and I've preached this part of this message before. I might hit a lot of the highlights, a lot of the things I've preached before, but God says it needs to be preached again. You need to realize what matters is on the inside. They preached that message and talked about when David, when the prophet Samuel was sent to Jesse's house and Jesse was there to anoint the next king. The Bible says that when Samuel got there, he asked David where his sons was, and he rolled out that first son. And the Bible said Samuel was looking at him and said, oh, this is the one, this has got to be the one. Almost like, man, look at him. He looks the part. He's got the image. He looks exactly like the one they're supposed to be. And God said, that's not the one. That's not the one. Went all through him and went all the way down through there, and he looked at him. And the Bible says that God told Samuel that man's heart was not right with God. I'm paraphrasing. But the Bible says when David got there, he looked at David, and David didn't look the part. David looked all young and all ruddy. He's like, I guess you'd say, Sister Melissa, he looked like one of them pretty boys. He just looked like he was a mama's boy, couldn't do much. But God told Samuel, he said, that's the one right there. That's the one. And Samuel was saying, surely David's not the one. And God reminded Samuel, he said, Samuel, he said, you're looking on the outside. He said, but I'm looking on the inside. Oh, can I say this, friend? I remember growing up hearing that old country song, old Conway Twitty said, don't call him a cowboy till you seen him ride. And can I say this? We can say, on the outside, they look like the part. On the outside, everything may look right. Can I say this? I've met many people who shook my hand and said, a preacher. I've met many people who shook my hand and said they was a deacon. I've met many people who shook my hand and said they was a singer or a prayer. My friend, it's not the introduction that makes you who you say you are. It's what's on the inside. Oh, can I say this today? It matters what's on the inside. I was thought about Noah while he was on the ark and all the nasty things that he had to smell while being on that ark. In the bottom of that ark, there was clean animals, and the next level up, Brother Eddie, was the clean animals, and I believe on the third level was Noah and his family. And Sister Vicky, there was only one window in the ark, and it was in the top of the ark. And can I say this? I don't know about you all, but I know something about sewage stuff, and smell don't fall, smell rises. And I couldn't imagine the smell they had to deal with on that ark. But can I say it was better on the inside of the ark than it was on the outside of the ark? I say hallelujah. I'll say this tonight. Sometimes the things may not go the way like we like for them to go. And sometimes things ain't going the right way we like to have them to go. But Brother Eddie, I can say praise the ever Lamb of God, because I got Jesus on the inside. I've got God living inside me. And though I might not seem like much on the outside, but friend, my Bible tells me when Jesus shall appear, we shall see him as he truly is. And we'll have a body like an unto him. I say hallelujah tonight. I say praise his ever loving name, for I'm glad he's on the inside. I'm reminded them disciples are in the storm and they're tossed to and fro. I'm reminded they said the boat was filling up with water and Jesus was in the midst of the ship and he was asleep. They come running down and they woke him up and said, Master, careth not that we perish. And Jesus looked at them and said, oh, ye of little faith. He gets up and he walks out and he stands upon the bow. of the boat, I do believe. And he raises up his hand and says, "Peace be still." And the winds calm and the waves ceased. And they said, "What manner of man is this, that a man where the winds and the storms obey him?" Can I say, I'm glad that Jesus was on the inside of the boat, don't you? When he said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life," he's wanting to speak to the inside of the heart of man. When Jesus told them, those people that followed him, you know, they all began to leave one by one, because he said, "He said that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood," he said, "you have not eternal life." Now, can I say this? Jesus wasn't contradicting and preaching a message and saying things that was contradiction. He wasn't asking them to literally take a bite out of him. He was saying, take in all of him, take every bit of him. Don't take the bits and pieces that you like. And can I say, it sounds a whole lot like religion in church today. People want to take in the bits and pieces that they like. But can I say this? We're to take the whole counsel of God. We're to take the whole word of God. We're to take it and put it in us. We ought to let it have its way in our life. He consumed every bit of it. Can I say, if you'll have it, he was actually complimenting. He was also saying in agreement with what they had to do back in the days of the Passover. When that Passover was instituted by God through Moses, he told Moses, he said, every man was to take a lamb according to his house. And he said, if that man didn't have enough, he said, well, he was to hook up with the neighbors. Or if the neighbor didn't have enough, they was to hook up with the man who had enough. But anyway, we all know the story. The Bible says that was to, at that certain time, they was to raise that lamb, take care of that lamb. The Bible said they had to take a lamb. Then they had to take the lamb. Then they had to take your lamb. That's a message. I love that message. And the Bible says they had to sacrifice that lamb and catch his blood in a pan or in a basin. Then it was to take that blood, and it was to take it hyssop, and it was to smite. That means it was to wipe that blood across the top of the door and down the sides. And y'all know the story that it says that when he said, when the death angel, when I was to pass through the land of Egypt, he said, "When I see the blood upon the doorpost, I will pass over you." Because he said that if you didn't, he would smite the firstborn of all the land. And can I say, after they'd done that, that wasn't it. That was not over. They had to cook that lamb. They had to put that lamb upon the fire and roast it with fire. And they had to eat every bit of that lamb. I heard Brother Terry Pace preach a message along those lines. He said you had to eat the head of the lamb. He said if you did, you'd think like a lamb. And he said you had to eat the legs of the lamb. He had to eat everything in between. He said if you ate the head, you thought like a lamb. And if you ate the legs, you should walk like a lamb. Somebody say amen right there. I say hallelujah. They said leave nothing dumb. They say eat it with your shoes on. Eat it with your loins girded and your staff in your hand. And eat it with bitter herbs. When Jesus was preaching that message, it bothered them. It upset them. He said don't take a little bit of Jesus. Don't take just a little bit of this doctrine. Don't take a little bit of church life. You know, Brother Eddie, I've met that crew. I've met that crowd. And they keep getting they keep swelling and swelling and swelling. I hear them people all the time that says, "Preacher, I don't need that old time way. I don't need that old time religion, that old time of preaching. I don't need that old time of singing an hour spent in church." Don't they know we got lives to live? We got other things to do. And I say this, I'm reminded that Jeremiah told him by God. He said, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein." He said, "You'll find rest for your souls." And can I say, I'm still finding some people that's got rest for their souls because they've walked in that old time way. They've asked and sought for them old paths and they found, and God showed them and they found it and they walked therein. But Brother Eddie, I'm also reminded at the end of that verse, they said, "We will not walk therein." You know, that the children of Israel did not find rest for the souls. They did not find rest for their families. Oh, can I say this? But them men got upset when Jesus preached that message. He said that you had to take every bit of me. And they got pricked in their hearts and they left. And Jesus said in the verse of chapter number 6, verse number 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Not only did they not like the preaching, Brother Eddie, but they quit the preacher, they quit the church and went some other way. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye go away? Will you also go away? Then Simon answered him, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." He says, "And we and are sure," this is the part that I've overlooked throughout all these years. He says, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." He didn't say that thou art the Christ. He says, "Thou art that Christ." He says, "The one that them prophets prophesied about. You're the one that them prophets have been prophesying about. You're the one that them Moses and them was talking about. You're the one that the psalmists have been writing about. You're the one, you're the one, you're the one." They said, "There's nowhere else. Oh, you're the one who's got the words of eternal life." And can I say this? The words of eternal life stir me, Brother Eddie. They get me happy. They thrill me. But it's not just on the outside, but it's on the inside. Can I say this many a time? People miss it. They miss the mark. Church is not a religion, though people try to make it out to be one. I've met many people who will say, preacher, all we got to do is just come on Sunday morning. You know, don't preach too long. You know, there's people that steal. Think you should be done by 11:45 so you can get to the rest of your day. I'm not knocking those people. I'm not knocking those churches. They can get all the God they can get by that time. I say hallelujah. And if you rather have that, I'm sorry. I've never been known to stop at 11:45. And you're like, well, preacher, you don't even get up to 11:45 a lot of times. And can I say this? I'm not in no hurry. We're living in the days and times where everybody wants to get things done in a hurry. Got to get her done. Got to get her right now. Got that microwave religion. Got that drive-through burger. Way and get on your day. And can I say this? You've heard me say this many times. We need that Wendy's religion, old-fashioned, hot and juicy. And sometimes it's, and can I say, I like that new one. They said their meat's not frozen. I've met a lot of frozen chosen. And I say this, we are not the frozen chosen. We should be lively stone, Peter said, built up into a spiritual house. Y'all listen to the preacher. I've preached this before, and I'll preach these 3 points. God's want me to hit you with these 3 points. Somebody needs to hear these 3 points, and we'll go to the house. Y'all right? If y'all amen real good and listen real quick, we'll get done real quick. If y'all stub up and rebel, we're going to preach here for another hour. First thing I remember as a kid growing up in this message was that eight ball. Huh? You remember that one, Brother Mark? You get that ball. Of course, being a boy, you'd be like, man, does she like me? No. Some of you people are older than me, never got the eight ball. You did the flower. Does she love me? Love me not. There wouldn't be a flower around if I was picking them flowers and asking. So we had the magic eight ball. No. And I shook the far of that ball until I got the answer that I needed. I realized there was no magic about that ball. What it was a little bitty cube on the inside of that ball, and it was the water that caused it to move. And when you shook that ball, the water is what made that piece of plastic on the side steady. Can I say this many times? The world has come to me and shook my life, shook my family, shook everything around me, shook my job, shook times that I didn't know which end was up. But I found that water that was on the inside of me kept me steady on the inside. I find that water in the Bible is the representation of the Word of God. So many people say, well, preacher, you still them Bible thumpers? I'm a Bible thumper. I still believe the Bible is the best thing you ought to carry in your hand. I still think the Bible is the Word of God is the best thing you ought to have in your house. Don't get me wrong. There's people who've been saved and lived a life who've never even seen a Bible, opened up the cover of a Bible. But since it's 29, and God's seen fit that you can go to Walmart and a dollar store and get a copy of His Word. Friend, I'll say this, if you'll hide it in your heart, you won't sin against God. And when the world comes to shake down and it feels like there's a shaking going on, there's a steady calm on the inside. And it's the Word of God to keeping you steady. It's the Word of God to keeping you sure. I was talking that one reason this past at work, and they would say, I've got these little sticky notes of scriptures everywhere in my office. Do you think that's crazy? I said, sissy, can I tell you something? I think everybody ought to have them some life verses. I think everybody ought to have some verses memorized for their life. You're with the preacher? You saying, preacher, you tell me I ought to memorize the Bible? I'm saying you ought to memorize some Bible. That's the reason I love Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20, Sister Melissa. For when my mind starts messing with me and the world comes shaking me in my past and the guilt and the shame of sinful life comes upon me, I just remind myself I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's been times when I felt like I didn't know where the next paycheck or the money was going to come from. And I got to provide for my wife, my kids. I'll never forget going to the bedroom one day crying, laying on the floor saying, God, things just got overwhelming. I feel like I'm in over my head and I'm crying. And y'all maybe heard this story. And we go to Save a Lot in Blanchester, and I guess maybe because we sold bottom out, they went out of business. But I'll never forget, we went there and they had Conn's bologna for $1. And I looked like I just hit the lottery. I was excited, tear running down my face. I was buying bologna, I was buying everything. And you say, Vicky, Phoebe might say, Vicky, why is Jason so happy about that? Because I prayed and God reminded me. He said, David said, I was young, yet now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Can I say this? It behoove you and do you some good to get you some Bible verses memorized and put them on the inside. The world comes a shaking at you and getting a hold of you. That word will keep you steady. That word will keep you true. And that word will keep you close to God because it's on the inside. Can I say the second thing I remember as a kid growing up was Stretch Armstrong? Oh, Stretch Armstrong. I remember Stretch Armstrong. Oh, I wanted one of them so bad, Mom and Daddy wouldn't let me have it. If I was like one of them liberal crowds today, they'd with you, preacher, because your mom and dad was mean to you and never bought you a Stretch Armstrong. I can be on the psychiatrist's couch right now, paying him $300 an hour saying I need a Stretch Armstrong. But I reminded my buddy had one, man, we'd stretch the far of that thing. He'd get one in, I'd get the other in. And stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch. He'd always come right back into shape. No matter what you did, he'd come right back into shape. You'd poke him, mash your finger in. His chest would sink in. His back would sink in. His leg would sink in. You mash on him. He'd just come right back to place. I sat and I thought many times I've seen them saints of God, it looked like their life was going to get pulled apart. I've seen many times when it seemed like I thought there's no, they're done, they're over with. And it seemed like there's all points. The devil had one end, the world had the other end. And it seemed like all life was over and they had no hope. But what was on the inside, Sister Maxine, they didn't realize when they was done a pulling, they couldn't pull them apart. But that was on the inside. I was going to pull them all right back together one piece. I've seen many a saint of people say, well, preacher, I've been through the hard times. And I've been some hard times too. And somebody asked me, they said, preacher, what's the one sure thing that you can realize? I have me one of them memory verses on the inside. When God told me, he said, Jason, there's no temptation taking you that's not common unto man. He said, but with every temptation, I'll offer you the way of escape. And I found, Brother Brad, that way of escape is the same way of life, the same way of truth. It's Jesus Christ. Having him on the inside. Oh, can I say, there's a lot of things I thought, there's no way I'll last. There's been times I've gotten back some spiritual things and fighting with them. I've been around people and some think I'm crazy and then charismatic. You can think what you want. But it seems like I've been smack dab in a room with some devils and they sit right there saying things to me. And I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He says, don't you worry about how they got a hold of you and stretch it on you. He said, they can't pull you apart. I'm on the inside. And oh, when they got done stretching and pulling it, make the devils mad because I would not quit. I would not give up. I would not take my Bible and go home. I kept on pressing, kept on plugging, and kept on plowing. Why? Because oh, though those things may be troublesome on the outside, but I thank God he's on the inside. Jesus said in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I say this, John said, well, Paul told Timothy this. This is a true mark of a believer. If any man live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. Right? But I like what John said. Greater is he that's in you. Can I say the third thing that I found? God showed me about what matters on the inside was that blow-up punchy dummy. The blow-up punchy dummy. You remember them, Josh? Knock the far out of them, they come right back up. Man, you wallop them. They come right back up. Drop, kick them, punt them, elbow them, take a big run and clothesline them. They go down, they right back up. I'd come off the couch, big old macho man elbow, right back up. I didn't know it. I thought it was the air in the thing. But in the bottom of that blowy up dummy punchy thing, they put a weight in the bottom of that. They put sand or a weight in the bottom of that thing. No matter what you did, kept it stable. It'd fly back up. You know how many times I've seen some of these saints, I've even seen some of you, get punched real hard. And I thought, man, they's down. All of a sudden, right back up you come. I've seen many of you take hits and take punches. I've seen many of saints who get knocked down. Somebody'd say, what causes them to keep going? There's something on the inside. Picks them right back up. I find that in Hebrews chapter number 11, whole lot, not a punchy dummies, but I find a whole lot of saints that had a big, heavy weight on the inside. And that weight's called faith. They had that faith that no matter what, by faith, Abel offered a more righteous sacrifice. Abel was moved to build an ark. By faith, Abraham believed that he's going to be a daddy at 100. And by faith, Sarah believed she's going to be a mama at 90. By faith, they believed that the walls of Jericho was going to come down. By faith, women had their sons raised back to life. Morning, by faith, a man on a couch was healed. And the things that God wants you to add is the things that will make you fruitful and that fruit abound in your life. That you would not be barren, that you could see afar off. And can I say this? If there's one thing I find that's lacking in a lot of people today, is that faith. What matters is on the inside. I think you should come every time the church doors is open, 100%. But that's not your faith. That's the symptom of your faith. Can I say there's many people who's quit because they have not that faith? You say, come on, preacher, that can't be true. Paul mentions it. He's someone that has not the faith of our Lord. And every time that punch, some of them had that stupid grin on their face. Oh, man, that just make you madder. But I kind of like it when we get knocked down and we come back up and got a smile on our face. That is far. Why? Because he can't take away what's on the inside. I find this. I hope y'all are listening. I find that when we look at this life and we wind up in a situation and we don't know what's going to happen. I was talking to that one that was talking about the Bible verses, and they say, I worry so much. And I told them the same thing I told you all. Worrying's like a rocking chair. It'll keep you busy, but it'll never get you anywhere. I said, that's what the devil wants you to do, is keep you occupied and keep you busy of worrying. And while you're busy of worrying, you're not being able to do what God wants you to do.